Turn, if you will, to Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 32 on the walk to Emmaus. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. And as they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" And they stopped short, sadness written across their faces. And then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth. They said he was a prophet who did powerful miracles. And he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago." And then some women from our group, as of his followers, were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing. They had seen angels who told them that Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. And then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all those things before entering his glory?" And then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all of the scriptures the things concerning himself. And by the time they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey, Jesus acted as if he were going on. But they begged him, "Stay the night with us, since it is getting late." So he went home with them, and as they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. And then he broke it and gave it to them, and suddenly their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. And they said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" Were the scene not so common, it would be almost comical. Two heavy-hearted disciples slouching their way home to Emmaus. And by the slump in their shoulders, you'd never even know this was Resurrection Sunday. By the looks on their faces, you'd think Jesus was still in the tomb. "We were hoping that he would free Israel," they lament. As if he hasn't. How could you be so close to Christ and miss the point? Jesus has just redeemed the world, and they're complaining about Rome. Jesus came to deal with sin and death, and they want him to deal with Caesar and the soldiers. Jesus came to set us free from hell, and they want to be set free from taxes. Talk about miscommunication. They missed the revolution. They had missed out on some information. So they were confused. They missed the meaning of the death of Jesus. And what should have been a day of joy for them was a day of despair. Why? They didn't know how to understand God's will. They aren't alone. More than one of us has spent hours staring at the monitor of life, wondering what direction to take. We know God has a will for us. Beautiful promise in Jeremiah 29:11. I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. I will give you a hope and a good future. God has a plan for each one of you, and that plan is good. Our question is, how do I access it? Other people seem to receive guidance. How can I? And one of the best ways to answer this question is to study of the story of these two confused disciples on the road to Emmaus. And I know no better time to answer these questions now as we go into the next room of God's great house and pray, Thy will be done. Max Lucado describes, just down the hall from the chapel is a room uncluttered by televisions, stereos, and email-filled computers. Envision a study with bookshelves lining the walls and a braided rug on the floor and a fire in the hearth. In front of the fire are two high-backed wing chairs, one for you, one for the Father. Your seat is empty and your Father motions for you to sit down and join him. Come, sit. Ask him whatever you want, whatever's on your heart. No question is too small and no riddle is too simple. He has all the time in the world. So come and seek the will of God. To pray, Thy will be done, is to seek the heart of God. The word will means strong desire. And in the study is where you learn what God desires. What is his heart, his passion? He wants you to know it. Shall God hide from us what he's going to do? Apparently not, because he's gone to great lengths to reveal his will to us. Could he have done more than send his son to lead us? Could he have done more than give his word to teach us? Could he have done more than orchestrate events in our lives to awaken us? And could he have done more than send his Holy Spirit to counsel us? God is not the God of confusion. And whenever he sees sincere seekers with confused hearts, you can bet your sweet December that he will do everything it takes to help them see his will. That's what he was doing on the road to Emmaus. Everybody else was online and they were on foot and they saw the death of Jesus as the death of a movement. They packed their bags and sadly headed home. And that's where they were going when Jesus appeared to them. And how sweet the appearance of Jesus on the road. Let a lamb take the wrong turn and miss the pasture, and our shepherd, unwilling to let him wander too far, comes to guide him home. How does he do this? How does he reveal his will to us? You might be surprised at the simplicity of the process. First, through the people of God. The first mistake of the duo was to disregard the words of their fellow disciples. And God often reveals his will through a community of believers. On the first Easter, he spoke through women who spoke to the others. Quote, today some women among us amazed us, and early in the morning they went to the tomb, but they did not find his body there. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said Jesus was alive. His plan hasn't changed. Jesus still speaks through believers, through believers. Ephesians 4:15, the whole body depends on Christ. And all of the parts of the body are joined and held together. Each part does its own work to make the whole body grow and be strong with love. Max illustrates that. When I was driving to my office this morning, my eye saw a traffic light. The sensors within my eye perceived that the color of the light was red. My brain checked my memory bank and announced the meaning of the red light to my right foot. My right foot responded by leaving the accelerator and pressing the brake. Now, what if my body hadn't functioned properly? What if my eye had decided not to be a part of the body today because the nose had hurt its feelings? Or what if the foot was tired of being bossed around and decided to press the gas pedal instead of the brake? And what if the right foot was in pain but was too proud to let the left foot know so that the left foot couldn't stop and step in and help? In all instances, a wreck would probably have occurred. God has given each part of the body of Christ an assignment. And one way God reveals his will to you is through the church. He speaks to one member of his body through another member. And it could happen in a Bible class or a small group or in communion. During dessert, God has as many methods as he has people. And that, by the way, is why Satan doesn't want you in church. You've noticed, have you, that when you're in a spiritual slump, you head out to Emmaus also. You don't want to be with believers, or if you do, you sneak in and sneak out of the service making excuses about meals to prepare or work to do. The truth is, Satan doesn't want you hearing God's will. And since God reveals his will to his children through other children, he doesn't want you in a church. Nor does he want you reading your Bible, which is takes us to another way that God reveals his will, through the Word of God. The disciples on the way to Emmaus disregarded the Word of God. That was their second mistake. And rather than consult the scriptures, they listened to their fears. And Jesus corrects this by appearing to them and conducting a Bible study. We'd expect something else, a little bit more dramatic from the one who has just defeated death, you know, like turning a tree into a dog or suspending the disciples in midair, a few feet up. But Jesus sees no need to do more than reacquaint his followers through the scriptures. You're foolish, slow to believe everything that the prophets say. They said that the Christ must suffer these things before he enters his glory. Then, starting with what Moses and the prophets had written about him, Jesus began to explain everything about himself that in the scriptures. Through the words of the prophets, he used scripture to reveal his will. And doesn't he do the same today? Open the Word of God and you'll find his will. John 6:39, this is God's will, that I should raise up those he has given me. John 1:13, it is God's will that you be born again, that you be born not of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It's not God's will that one little one perish. Matthew 18:14. It is my Father's will that everyone who sees the Son and believes on him should have eternal life, that I should raise him up at the last day. John 6:40. It is his will that the world be saved. And knowing that, then, my task is to align myself with his will. And anytime I find myself choosing between two different roads, I must ask, which road will contribute more to the kingdom of God? Sometimes it's quite obvious. There's no way, for example, that pornography advances the cause of God. It's beyond reason to think that embezzlement enhances the kingdom, even if you tithe on the take. I take issue with the person who justifies her drug addiction as a way to draw nearer to the mystical side of God. And other times, though, it is not so clear, but the question is still helpful. Forced to choose between two professions, which one will allow you to have a greater impact for the kingdom? Torn between two different churches to attend, which one will give you a greater chance to glorify God? You wonder if this person is the right spouse for you? Ask yourself, will he or she help me in bringing glory to God? His general will provides us with guidelines which help us to understand his specific will for our individual lives. And then God reveals his will to us through a walk with God. They begged him, stay with us, it's almost night. So he went in to stay with them. We also learn to understand God's will by spending time in his presence. The key to knowing God's heart is having a relationship with him, a personal relationship. God will speak to you differently than he speaks to others. Just because God spoke to Moses through a burning bush, that doesn't mean we should all sit next to a bush waiting for God to speak. God used a fish to convict Jonah. Does that mean we should have worship services at SeaWorld? No. God reveals his heart personally to each person. And for that reason, your walk with God is essential. Mark is leading us to explore a deeper walk with Christ in our Sunday school series. You should be there. His heart, God's heart, is not seen in an occasional chat or weekly visit. We learn his will as we take up residence in his house every single day. Walk with him long enough, and you will come to know his heart. When you spend time with him in his study, you will see his passion. Welcome him to enter the gateway of your soul, and you will perceive his will. By the way, did you notice the curious action of Jesus found in verse 28? They came near the town of Emmaus, and Jesus acted as if he were going further. Doesn't Jesus want to be with his disciples? Of course he does. But he doesn't want to be where he's not invited. Ever the gentleman, our Lord awaits your invitation. Please note, it was after that they gave this invitation that they were allowed to recognize Jesus. And there is one final way that God reveals his will, through the fire of God. When they saw who he was, he disappeared. They said to each other, it felt like a fire burning in us when Jesus talked to us on the road and explained the scriptures to us. Don't you just love that verse? They knew they had been with Jesus because of the fire within them. God reveals his will by setting a torch to your soul. He gave Jeremiah a fire for hard hearts. He gave Nehemiah a fire for a forgotten city. He set Abraham on fire for a land he had never seen. He set Isaiah on fire with a vision that he couldn't resist. And for 40 years of fruitless preaching that didn't extinguish the fire of Noah. 40 years of wilderness wandering didn't douse the passion of Moses. And Jericho couldn't slow Joshua. Goliath didn't deter David. There was a fire within them. And isn't there one within you? You want to know God's will for your life? Then answer this question. What ignites your heart? Forgotten orphans like the kids in Kenya? Untouched nations like Renee in Pakistan right now? The inner city like Anchorage's homeless? The outer limits to the end of the earth? Heed the fire within. Do you have a passion to sing? Then sing. Are you stirred to manage? Then manage. Do you ache for the ill? Then treat them. Do you hurt for the lost? Then reach them. As a young man, Max felt the call to preach. Unsure he was correct in his reading of God's will for him, he sought the counsel of a minister that he admired, and his counsel still rings true. "Don't preach," he said, "unless you have to." What's the fire that consumes you? What gives you purpose? Mark it down. Jesus comes to set you on fire, and he walks with a torch from heart to heart, warming the cold, thawing the chilled, stirring the ashes. He is at once a Galilean wildfire and a welcome candle. He comes to purge infection, illuminate your direction. The fire of your heart is the light of your path. Disregard it at your own expense. Fan it at your own delight. Blow it, stir it, nourish it. Cynics will doubt it. Those without it will mock it. But those who know it, those who know him, will understand it. To meet the Savior is to be set aflame. To discover the flame is to discover his will. And to discover his will is to access a world you've never, ever seen. Selah.